Compromise is for relationships, not wine. Besides, a good bottle of wine will settle almost any argument. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York.
Yes, indeed. Start spreading the news because we are going to New York today for a little while, and then we're going to take off and go to Boston. Why? Because I've been reminded here on Grape Encounters Radio that David Wilson has a tendency to talk too much about what goes on in places like California. I don't intentionally neglect the East Coast, that it's a little farther away from home, but there's one guy who always reminds me that I need to pay attention to the East Coast. He's been a friend of Grape Encounters Radio for a long time, and we'll have him on in just a moment. In the meantime, I want to tell you about something that's going to go on later on in the show. There was an interview that we did back around October of last year, and so many people did not get a chance to hear it. I've been wanting to replay it for the longest time. And it's with comedian Gary Gulman, who has been on every major network, including Showtime, HBO. He has the most drop-dead funny bit about grapes. In the meantime, we're going to talk about wines from the East Coast. And, you know, we don't pay nearly enough attention to them, but there are great things going on there. In fact, recently, the state of Virginia's wine country was named one of the top 10 wine destinations, not in the United States, but in the world. So a little further up the coast, in the Finger Lakes region of New York, sits a winery called Shaw Vineyards, and it is run by a dad and a son, and that son is on with us right now. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, how are you, David?
I'm doing good. I haven't told people yet about your trip out here to California, but I kind of want to set it up a little bit because we met you when we first started Grape Encounters, and you periodically either text me, email me, call me, but remind me that New York is alive and kicking when it comes to wine.
Absolutely is. That's my duty.
This last time was really the best because you decided to get on a plane and get out here along with your wines and prove your point in person. And I'm going to tell you what, nobody has ever done that before. I was very pleased.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you know what? We didn't get a chance to get through all the wines. I didn't want to just like open up a bunch of wines and do a tasting. I mean, you literally were here for less than 12 hours. And so we didn't have the opportunity to really get into them. And I really wanted to savor them. And I want you to know they're all gone, Steve.
All right. Well, that's the point. Absolutely. I'm glad they can be enjoyed.
All right. So let's talk about what, first of all, what you brought me. You brought me all whites. I had had your reds before, but you brought me all whites. And we had a Riesling, we had a Pinot Grigio, and we had a Sauvignon Blanc. And tell me a little bit, first of all, about those wines and why they do so well in Finger Lakes.
Finger Lakes has established itself as a cool climate region, so those are obviously cool climate grapes. Rieslings, the Rieslings in general, are what has made the Finger Lakes famous, if you will, and Sauv Blanc, so there's a lot of potential for Sauvignon Blanc, also a lot of potential for Pinot Gris.
Okay, so those two wines are what really surprised me, because I honestly didn't know what to expect. I'd never had a Sauvignon Blanc from that region, never had a Pinot Grigio from that region. I liked them both a lot. I mean, I'm not saying that to pander you and or to make you feel good because you flew all the way out here just for me. But I really did. I really thought that they were very enjoyable wines. And that Sauvignon Blanc stands up against anything we have here in California and anything that, you know how much I love New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs. It stood up very nicely against those as well. You know, different, but still clearly a Sauvignon Blanc. And it's interesting because when you drink a Cabernet Sauvignon from your region and one from California, you don't even know they're the same wines.
They are very different. They definitely are the different styles.
The whites hang on to their characteristics quite a bit more.
Yeah, the Sauv Blanc, number one, thank you so much. We're flattered. That Sauv Blanc is an estate Sauv Blanc. So is our Riesling and the Pinot Gris as well. So they're all wines from our estate.
All right, here's the big question, Steve. Why don't we see New York wines all over the country? I don't get it. I can't really walk into most wine stores and buy New York wines. They don't make it very far, and yet you have a lot of wineries up there just in the Finger Lakes. You have a couple of hundred, right?
In the Finger Lakes, there are probably 140 to 150.
Okay.
In the entirety of New York State, 225 to 250.
That's still a lot of wineries and a lot of wine that's being made there. Where is it going? Is it going to the restaurants? Is it going to the local, I guess we have to call them liquor stores. But where is it getting consumed? Or is it leaving the country?
A lot of the wine is being sold right out of the tasting rooms, so right there on the facility where it's made. And a lot of the wine is sold in upstate New York as well, from Buffalo to Albany. And Metro New York is really coming on strong now the past couple of years. And really, a lot of people, the locavore movement is really taking hold in certain parts of New York City.
Well, I want my listeners to explore. I mean, I really do. I want them to try different things. And especially, I want them to try as many wines from the United States of America as they can, because I'm a patriotic guy. And the more wine we sell here, that we make here, the better off it is. But if you're not in New York and you want to get New York wines, can they go online and buy your wines, or what happens?
Absolutely. They can log on to shawvineyard.com and email myself. I'm Steve Shaw Jr. on the website, and we can absolutely get wine to almost anywhere in the country.
Now, I mentioned earlier Virginia being named one of the top 10 wine destinations, not in the country, by the way, in the world. Are you guys a little jealous of that? You're not very far away.
We aren't very far away. I'm happy for Virginia, but I would absolutely prefer it to be the Finger Lakes. I would love to have the Finger Lakes, which it does get written up in the Spectator and the Enthusiast constantly. But yes, I would love to have as much exposure for our own region as much as possible.
You know what I like about the Finger Lakes is it's a drop-dead gorgeous region, and it's small enough that if you're going on a wine adventure, you can cover it a lot better than you could cover, say, a Napa Valley.
It is pretty centrally located. Most of the wineries are located along three lakes. A long weekend, you might be able to get through some of the key wineries. You might not be able to get through everything, but you can get through a lot of your favorites and obviously some new ones.
Let me ask you a very pointed question. The restaurants, the wine retailers in your area, meaning New York, and you live much of the time in Manhattan, right?
Yes, I do.
They're bringing a lot of wine in from out of the country, aren't they?
They absolutely are.
Are they good to you as far as selling your wines, or are you pretty much stuck having to sell them through the tasting rooms? What gives?
They could be better. They could do a better job.
Are you just being politically correct by saying that, or is there a little bit of fire in your belly when I ask you that question?
There's passion. There's passion. Let's put it that way.
Oh, here on the left coast, we call it fire in our belly.
All right.
So there's a little bit of passion. So because I've heard that is an irritant to a lot of winemakers there, that their own state, the people in the state, the culinary institutions don't support them the way that they should. Is it because Manhattan and places like it are so cosmopolitan that they're almost expected to carry French wines and California wines and, you know, the great wines of the world, and so they kind of inadvertently snub their own domestic product?
I think there's some truth to that. Manhattan is, you have the world at your fingers in Manhattan, and sometimes what's right under your nose gets lost in the shuffle sometimes.
How many California wines do you see on wine lists there?
The majority of wines are not from New York State. Let's put it that way.
I don't get it. New Yorkers hate Californians, but they like our wine. They'll take our wine. What's with that? You'd think.
It's,
I mean, New Yorkers are so into New York.
They are.
I mean,
why? It doesn't always translate into wine. Unfortunately.
Yeah, so when it comes down to what they're going to put in their mouth, and, you know, it's a different story, and they're going to drink what they perceive to be the very best, and that's it. What about French wines, expensive Bordeaux? We see a lot of that there?
Absolutely. It's obviously people aren't buying like they used to before the economy has been troubled. But yes, absolutely. A lot of Burgundy Bordeaux drinkers, absolutely, since there, you name it.
All right, Steve. Hey, I appreciate you coming out to California. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to spend more time with you, but I did really want to give a thumbs up to your wines. I thought they were really terrific, and you guys are doing a great job there. And I'm just encouraging all listeners to explore wines from other states like New York, Virginia, North Carolina. Every state's got wine country now, and we've, as wine drinkers, really just scratched the surface. There's a lot to explore, and every state is different. It's very exciting what you can find there, isn't it, Steve?
Absolutely. The fine wine is closer than you think. It's right under your nose.
Yes, indeed. And listen, Closer Than You Think is an interview that I did last year that so many people didn't get to hear. And it's also an East Coast guy, Boston to be exact. His name is Gary Gulman. He's a renowned comedian. He's been on every major cable station, Showtime, HBO, Comedy Central. He was 2 years on Last Comic Standing. And he does a bit called The Grape. And it is one of the funniest things I have ever heard. If you love wine and you love grapes, you will love this. And I'm so glad to have an opportunity to bring this back. I've wanted to do it for a while, but I also wanted to wait a bit. We'll be talking in just a second with Gary Gulman, and we will play this incredibly hysterical skit, The Grape, on Grape Encounters Radio.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes grown in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleit's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com. Back with Grape Encounters Radio, David Wilson here, and I will tell you that I am singularly delighted about this next segment, and you'll know why in just a second. You know, when it comes to fruit, there's little doubt that apples, bananas, and oranges generally get the top billing. They always get the biggest displays in the supermarket and have always been the fruits of choice in lunch bags and boxes for many generations. Nonetheless, as every Grape Encounter listener knows, there is no fruit more deserving of our love and admiration than the grape. Nearly every country on the planet takes immeasurable pride in its wines, and here in America, virtually every state now makes their own wine. Some of them are better than others, but wine is unquestionably the preferred way to enjoy the beloved grape, and recently became the most popular adult beverage in America. Now, while there are probably a dozen different varieties of apples available at your grocery store, a couple of different types of oranges, and that is if you count tangerines and tangelos, and maybe two or three different bananas, there are virtually tens of thousands of different grape varietals, making it the most versatile food on the planet. While there are endless books and articles that sing the praises to the grape, there has never, and I mean never, been a more fitting tribute than the now classic roast given to us by Gary Gulman. I have heard this routine so many times, and every time it just absolutely splits my sides. I have wanted to get this man on for so long, and I am so glad to have Gary Gulman on the line on Grape Encounters. Hey, Gary, thanks for joining us.
Wow, you validated me. That was really nice. You made my day. Thank you so much.
Gary, you validated the grape. I mean,
it's the least I can do for all the pleasure it's given us over the years.
Well, seriously, you go into a supermarket and they have these gigantic displays, you know, of oranges and apples, and half the time I topple them when I pull one of them out. And then over there tucked in the corner is the grape display. Makes no sense to me because I think we probably consume more grapes than any other fruit. And you were the first guy to really stand up and give it its honor.
Well, I've always been known to take on the big issues, but let's not forget that the grocery store also, the grape in the grocery stores is also the only free fruit, really. I mean, within reason, you're allowed to steal some grapes. They're okay with you. No other fruit has that policy, so that's another positive.
Yeah, but they're in that plastic thing, you know, that's kind of got the little openings, and you kind of got to tear that open and then kind of work the grape out.
But usually they're overflowing because the grapes just cannot be housed very, very easily in those contraptions.
Now, seriously, are you really that big a grape lover?
Yes. Okay. I wouldn't say I was hiding it, but it's just a weird thing. A lot of jokes start from things you're a little bit embarrassed to share with everyone, or usually they're things that are rather puerile in nature, and so the adoration of the grape growing up and the confusion over the grape and the grapefruit, them having similar names but no common traits, that it was something that I just gravitated to. I'm trying to think when I wrote that joke, probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, but it must be your most beloved piece.
It really is. As one record person put it, it has taken on a life of its own, and it's the most recognizable and probably the one that positive feedback from, which is great. I guess I would be, in music terms, the equivalent of a one-hit wonder, but I do have some other hits, but nothing is... Well, the other thing is that in its longest form, it's about 14 minutes long, so it's a bit of a colossus of a joke.
I'm not sure if I've heard the 14-minute version, but I don't want to give away too much of the bit because in our next segment, we're going to definitely play it. Now, you like to do material on foods in general. I got a feeling you were a guy that talked to his food.
Yeah, I just treated a lot of foods as, what's that, anthropomorphication or
exactly.
Personalizing them or having, I wouldn't say conversations with them, but conversations about them as if they had human personalities and things. I had a very strange relationship with food early on in that as a kid, for instance, I would only eat vanilla ice cream despite the fact that I preferred chocolate ice cream, but I felt bad for vanilla ice cream because it was associated with blandness and lack of creativity, and so I sided with vanilla ice cream. And then at one point I found out that vanilla ice cream was actually the most popular and the biggest seller, so I was able to finally embrace chocolate because it was an underdog. So that really doesn't make any sense, but in my mind it made perfect sense that I would embrace the underdog, but it was actually chocolate rather than vanilla, which worked out great for everybody.
But see, the same thing is true with grapes, is that, you know, the grape starts out as just a grape, and then at least for us wine lovers, it can be made into an infinite number of things, styles, and there are just endless possibilities. So I want to go back a little bit in your career, because when I was doing a little of my due diligence concerning you, I did not expect to find out that you started out your career as an accountant.
Yes, I worked for what is now PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Good Lord.
Then Coopers and Lybrand, but if I say what is now PricewaterhouseCoopers, it makes it sound like I worked for Pricewaterhouse, which is quite prestigious, and I wasn't able to get a job with them, but they merged, so now it sounds like I work for the same company that audits the Oscar nominations and all that, so it's a little bit more.
Talk about starting out as an underdog, okay? There's not much comedy in that world, I'm thinking.
No, but I will say that my distress associated with working as an accountant made me much more ambitious and motivated to work hard as a comedian to get out of that business. And it was also my introduction to wine tastings, because I remember when I first started, one of our clients was the Boston Harbor Hotel, and they had a pretty impressive wine festival in the winter one year, and so they invited us, and I went to that, and Julia Child was there, and it was really well regarded, so I really enjoyed that, although I didn't know at the time that most of the people who actually taste wine wine, don't drink at all. So I became really inebriated and wound up sleeping in my car or something ridiculous like that. But since then, I've learned how to actually enjoy wine tasting like an adult.
Well, we are the Unpretentious Wine Show, so we are not big advocates of spitting out your wine. My guest today is comedian Gary Gulman, and in just a little bit, we will actually hear Gary's very famous skit, The Grape, when we continue on Grape Encounters Radio.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com. Listening to Grape Encounters Radio, I'm David Wilson, and very pleased to have on Gary Gulman, one of the funniest guys alive. It's just amazing to me. You start out in accounting. Next thing you know, you're on Letterman, Leno, every major talk show. You've had your own specials on HBO, right? You were on
I was on a series on HBO, and I have specials on Showtime and Comedy Central. But it wasn't really the next thing you know. I had a lot of jobs in between accounting and full-time comedian. I substitute taught at my old high school, and I worked as a barista at Starbucks. So there was a lot of time when I was working odd jobs to maintain my habit.
And something like 1,000 or so visits to the open mic, I'm guessing.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of open mics and a lot of unpaid shows where I drove 3 hours and spent more on gas than I actually made in performing.
Let's talk Starbucks for a second, because that I think is one of the greatest places for, I think, comedy material, because there's nothing funnier than watching people walk up to the counter in a Starbucks and rattle off, you know, their desired drink. Did you find humor in that?
I found humor in everything in that. In Boston, there's sort of there's another option, which is Dunkin' Donuts. A lot of places there isn't Dunkin' Donuts, so sometimes a Dunkin' Donuts person would be forced into coming into Starbucks, and they were adamant about not using the proper terminology, and as an obsessive type person, I would insist that they not call it a large, because I was trying to create ambiance, and they would resist. It's sort of the nature of Bostonians to not want to embrace any change or modern conveniences. So that was a little problematic. And then, yes, the people who were into Starbucks were really into giving the exact specifications on temperature and type of milk and amount of milk and how much ice would be put in their frozen drinks. And it was very interesting. But these people are, well, they're addicts, basically. they're addicted to caffeine, and I know how they feel. But just the requirements some days were overwhelming.
Well, that pretentiousness is a little hard to watch. But I must say that it certainly, if it has its place in Starbucks, it really has its place in the wine world.
Oh, I'm familiar with that. And it's interesting that it's considered pretentious. It's the only real game where it's considered pretentious to spit.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point. Very good point. In the grape skit, I don't know, do we call it a skit or bit?
We can call it a skit. We can call it a bit, a piece. If you want to sound really, really obnoxious, you can call it my grapefruit piece.
Now you only give wine an honorable mention in that. You just it's almost a throwaway line in the piece. But you are a wine lover.
I am a wine lover, and I guess the evolution of the joke at some point included the fact that I really should have stressed the fact that the grape can also change your mood and give you a certain hobby and also provide hours and hours of discussion and
it can also make people like you better.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. Or like yourself better, and also can bring about magazines and festivals, which is something that gum and soda, which are other grape products, are not as popular with.
Well, I have a theory about you as to why you may have omitted too much conversation about grapes and wine, and I think it may be because we're actually very cruel to grapes when it comes to wine. We crush them, and then we put them in a container to rot.
Yeah.
And anybody that loves a fruit as much as you love a grape probably finds that very hard to watch.
But it just makes me love the grape even more, that it is so versatile and also so resourceful and accommodating that its death involves either turning into a delicious raisin or becoming just something that people can gather around and celebrate or drink their problems away.
Now, you're a monster sports fan. Are you seeing a lot more wine showing up at the stadiums than you used to see?
Yes, but you know, especially I keep going back to Boston because it's such a strange community. It's very provincial, so that they just don't embrace any kind of new things. And I know they don't have a wine guy who walks around yelling wine, but I'm sure they serve it in the upper class boxes and all those things. But it would be an interesting thing to have a man walking around with a crate filled with wine, but they'd probably put it in plastic cups, which as a wine lover I know is just a last resort. You might as well drink it out of your hands.
Well, you know, that probably is true, but out here in California, we're seeing as much wine these days at the stadiums as we do beer. It kind of makes me sick, though. They'll actually, in some places, open up a bottle of wine, and then they'll dump it into this great big plastic container.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. I've yet to see that, but that's a great new angle for a joke.
Okay, I being of, as you refer to it, the non-Jewish persuasion.
Yeah.
Only recently got to go to my first Passover.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and for a people that downs a whole lot of wine in a very short period of time, why in the world are the wines so wretched?
I mean, they are the worst.
What's the deal
worst.
With that?
And there's no tradition of popping the cork. It's always unscrewing the bottle. It's just, yes, they are wretched, and it's a group of people who have the disposable income to really embrace a solid wine. I have no idea. I think it's the very popular matzah lobby, which has put Manischewitz at a level that it probably doesn't deserve. So I'm gonna blame it on that. But yes, our ceremonies are so wine heavy, and yet we drink the worst wine imaginable.
Well, the funny part is that at the Passover that I went to most recently, there were certain people that were smuggling in really good wine in brown paper sacks in the same way that people smuggle pot into a concert. And very, very, very proud to be getting away with it. Gary Goldman, I am so glad to have you on Grape Encounters. We're going to play the grape piece. I am so excited to do that. I so appreciate you being on Grape Encounters Radio. I can't tell you. It's my absolute favorite comedy bit of all time. And
oh, that's so nice of you to say, because there are a lot of other bits, and for you to recognize that one, I appreciate it. I mean, I disagree with you, but I have heard that from some people, so I really appreciate that, and it's just been a pleasure to talk with you, and it made my day when I got your email saying that you had heard it. Just the fact that you had heard it is very impressive to me.
No, I've heard it 100 times. I really have.
Thank you, sir.
My guest is comedian Gary Gulman, whose piece that honors the beloved grape is by far my favorite comedy bit of all time. And Gary, with your permission, we're going to play it for the Grape Encounters listeners.
I grant you my permission. I'm thrilled.
I'll tell you one thing you should know about me. I love grapes. I love them. They're nature's other popcorn. They're incredible. I love how they come on a vine, because I'll pick them right off there. I'll pick my own grapes. It's like I'm a migrant farm worker. I'll just pick them right off there, and then I eat them, because I love them. And I'll tell you another thing about me. Seedless. Seedless every single time. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh, what a snob, right? No. I'm at a point now in my life where I know what I want, and I know what I don't want. And I don't want seeds in my grapes. I know there's some young daredevils out there. They want the seeded kind. They want to, you know, play with the, hey, I want a choking hazard in my grapes. Not me. Let the young kids deal with that. I want my grapes seedless. I love them. And can I tell you something? Grapes bring out the best in people. Ever have somebody not share their grapes? Can I have some grapes? Of course you can have some grapes. Look how many there are. Pick some off you. It's one of those fruits where it's not like you took a bite out of the entire thing. There's plenty that have been unbitten. So you just pick it off there. I'll pick you some. Here. Here's some grapes. Open up your mouth. I'll toss them into your mouth. Even the grocery store, which is very against shoplifting, they have a very lax policy about grape theft. They're going to let you steal some grapes. Unless you lie down in the grape aisle and have somebody feed them to you, like you're Julius Caesar or the great King Farouk, they're gonna be okay with it. Don't try that with a pomegranate. They frown on that. But here's something else. Here's the dark side of this. You know, I love grapes, but I hate grapefruit. What? How did that happen? How did such dissimilar fruits get such similar names? Because the grape, we're all agreed, a masterpiece. A masterpiece of produce. And the grapefruit, vile. Vile. Inedible. Miserable, miserable fruit. In fact, the only reason the grapefruit was invented, do you know why it was created? So that people would have something to compare the size of a tumor to. But then I say, once softball was invented, discontinue the grapefruit. Because it sucks. One time I thought I was drinking a glass of lemonade at a continental breakfast. Turns out, folks, grapefruit juice. And my life passed before my eyes. And it was a good life. It was a good life. But I thought I'd been poisoned. I thought, could you imagine if I had brushed my teeth prior to that? I might not be here to speak with you today. No, the reason I hate the grapefruit the most, because when it goes to a fruit salad, it brings down every other fruit in the fruit salad with it. It seeps into every other fruit and makes it taste like a grapefruit. It goes over to the pear and ruins the delicious pear. You go in innocently having a pear. Oh my God, grapefruit. Let me try the peach. Oh, we got to you too. You grapefruit. He brings everybody down with him like a 10th grade pothead. There's only one fruit that the grapefruit cannot touch, that is immune to the grapefruit juice. Grape. The grape is immune to grapefruit juice. How did that happen? It's no coincidence, my friends. It's an arrangement. Because initially, the grapefruit was not known as the grapefruit. It was known by the name that people said when they ate it. It was known as, ugh. But it wasn't moving any product. So it went over to Grape, who's doing quite well. And he says, Grape, can you help me out? And Grape says, yeah. Grapefruit says, you're doing quite well. And Grape says, yes, I am doing quite well. I'm in jam, I'm in jelly, I'm in juice, I'm in grape soda, I'm in wine. Even when I'm dead, I'm a raisin. I'm doing very well, thank you. And Grapefruit says, listen, I'm not selling any product. I was wondering if you could help me out. Is it okay if I tell people that I'm you for a while? And Grape says, yeah, what am I going to do, sell less of me? I'm killing it, you know? And Grapefruit says, thanks. What can I do for you? And Grape says, yeah, I was thinking about that. When we're in a fruit salad together, could you not f*** up my s***? It's a little thing called professional courtesy.
Man, oh man, what a pleasure, Gary, to have you on Grape Encounters Radio.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun. Thanks, David. Have a nice weekend.
Man, this has been a highlight of my career, that is for sure. I'm so glad we had you. We'd love to have you back again. In a moment, somebody who also makes Grape Encounters Radio unforgettable, it is Matt Dubow, the gadget guru, who will be here with us in studio on Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
At no time were any animals harmed during the making of today's show. However, countless grapes were crushed and mutilated. This is Grape Encounters Radio.
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that epicstyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to epicstyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. epicstyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at grapeencountersradio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at grapeencounters.com.
So did the scientists put the gadgets in him when he was a baby? Or was he born that way?
Guess what?
What?
I got a fever! And the only prescription is...
I want to tell you about a safe new revolutionary
gadget lasso,
product.
Gadget magnet, gadget binoculars, gadget laser, gadget ski, gadget blowdryer, gadget flashlight.
I cannot imagine a better product today.
I have never seen a man work so hard at looking busy.
No matter what happens, you've got to stay close to Uncle Gadget.
Go, go, Gadget Oils.
And the gadget guru is in the house. I hate that phrase, is in the house, but you know everybody says it, so I feel like I should say it too, Matt.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Matt is in the house.
Raise the roof.
Remember when they first started saying that and it was like, oh, come on, that's so stupid. But anyway, it was about the time that they came out with that phrase, my bad.
Oh, that really bothers me.
When somebody says my bad, don't you want to just hit them? I mean, you want to physically hurt them.
That drives me up the wall.
And how about people who send you text messages that say LOL?
I do that all the time.
Oh, no. Sorry. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. But okay, but there are things that I love sitting on the table here, Matt. I got to say, some pretty cool stuff. I love the stuff for chilling wine bottles. And this wine chill gel tote is very cool. Let's talk about this, okay? It's a little hard for me to get open and talk on the radio at the same time. But all four sides of it is that blue gooey stuff inside plastic, right?
Right.
And you freeze this thing, right?
Yeah, you can, or you can chill it. It's just like a wine chill, and it chills the bottle or keeps it chilled. Comes in decorative colors. It's blue and pink and green and a clear.
Oh, so the color is not really the substance. It's just something you added for
dramatic
effect.
Exactly.
Now, I notice it's just about wide enough for you to be able to put your arm into it. This could almost be a water wing for people who want to stay cool out in the summer heat.
You could.
You never thought of that dual purpose for this.
Well, I don't know if it's going to fit my arm, but you could use it for that.
Now, this is really not for chilling your bottle, right? This is more for keeping your bottle cold.
Right.
Chill the bottle first.
With all your chilling devices, you want to have your wine already at temperature. And this just keeps it at temperature if you're going to a party or you're going on a picnic. It just is supposed to keep it chilled.
Are you willing to be really honest about something if I ask you a tough question?
Of course.
Do you ever put wine bottles in the freezer? No.
I never have.
Okay, so you want to hear my story about freezing a bottle of wine?
Yes.
It's my horror story. Okay. It wasn't actually a bottle of wine. It was actually champagne.
Oh, yeah?
And it wasn't one, but it was three. And it wasn't just any champagne, but it was Cristal.
Oh.
I was doing some work. I was in a different profession at the time. And I was doing some work for a guy who owned a wine bar. He paid me in fine champagne. I actually got a case of Cristal. Now, I think even then, that Cristal was probably, you know, $150 a bottle or something. It was pretty expensive.
Right.
So I was so proud that I had these, and there was something that I wanted to celebrate. So I invited some good friends over, and I decided to get three bottles of the champagne, good and cold. So put it in the freezer, and I don't know what you know that it's what everybody does, really. You serve the cheap stuff first, you know, to kind of, you know, get yourself primed for, you know, the good stuff.
Really? No, I go the opposite.
Oh, you go the other way around?
Right.
Because I like to work my way up to it.
I can't, because I think you want to taste the good stuff first, because you've had so much later on in the night. You're not going to know what's good.
We're talking fresh out of college, Matt. Nobody cared.
Oh, you're drinking Cristal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. So all of a sudden, the Cristal's in the freezer. And we open it up. All three bottles cracked wide open.
Oh.
Now we're talking, you know, $450 worth of champagne, which was all the money in the world for me. Although I didn't appreciate the value of a dollar back then.
Right. What did you do?
Oh, well, we put it all into a pail. Okay. We let it defrost, and then we poured it through a sieve to get all the glass out. That's an absolute true story.
Really?
Absolutely true story. But the fizz was gone, and so was the alcohol for some reason. I don't know why when it freezes like that, the alcohol just kind of disappeared. But a little club soda added to it, put some of the sparkle back into it. Good as new, right?
Sure.
That and a shot of vodka, right? That's all you needed to do. Reconstituted Cristal, which gives me an idea. This is something you could sell, Matt.
Okay.
You could sell, you know, champagne kits.
For people who put their champagne in the freezer and they crack.
Well, no, you just have all the flavorings and stuff, and all you do is add vodka and carbonated water. You don't like it, do you?
I don't think that sounds good.
All right, let's talk about some of these other chill products here. These ones are just ones that wrap around the bottle, right?
Same type of theory as the wine bottle bag, but these also have the gel inside them, and they're decorative, and then they wrap around the bottle. There's a Velcro thing on them that keeps them on the bottle, but they're great, and they're just real decorative. So when you put them on the table, they're not just plain white or gray or black. They have some sort of pattern on them.
So here's something that I really
tend to not appreciate. And as I look at this, you know, you've got these beautiful, beautiful works of art, literally collages of bottles. And it's not cheesy. I mean, it's really, really artistic. I mean, you could frame it and put it on the wall if you wanted to frame a chill bag and put it on the wall or a bottle cooler. You've also got cocktail napkins, same thing. These are like works of art. People paint this stuff? What do they do? How do they create that?
Again, we have excellent designers, and they create all of the artwork that you see. Some of them, what they'll do is they'll draw it and scan it into the computer, or they will draw it on the computer. So they're really talented. I wish I had that talent to do that.
So some of these people have fine art degrees?
I think most of them do.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Does any of this stuff, I'm looking at this cocktail napkin over here. I've got to reach here, and it's sort of a whole beach scene.
Yes.
And it's really quite beautiful. And there's a bottle of wine. It's the Wine Shack, by the way, which I love that. Take off on the Love Shack. And so does any of this wind up on a canvas on the walls of the hallowed halls of epicstyle.com?
It doesn't, but I think that's a really good idea that we should have posters or paintings on the wall of all the great artwork that we have. I mean, it's as you said, it's works of art.
Okay, I got an idea. And you do not have to pay me for this one, okay? But here, I'm going to leave you with this.
Okay.
What I would do, because you have hundreds of thousands of customers around the world, here's what I would do. I would, on some of your best designs, I would take the originals, frame them really beautifully, and then have a contest where people could go onto epicstyle.com and they could log in and they could win the original artwork.
No, that's not a bad idea.
You're serious. You actually liked one of my ideas.
I do like that idea.
Okay, we're going to quit while we're ahead. Matt, that's a first. That's the first time you've actually looked at me and got, you know, that's really a good idea. Wow, it happened here. Well, thanks, Matt. I appreciate your being in. If you want to check out all the products that Matt supplies to all of you wine addicts, is really what you are, and you should be proud of it, go to epicstyle.com and join us next week. Same time, same channel. We'll have more stuff for you.